Tonight's episode of Get Sleepy is brought to you by BetterHelp. You've probably heard of the phrase social battery. It relates to a person's capacity for socializing or being around other people, and the point at which that runs low and needs some time to recharge. I know that I enjoy my own company, but I also feel my best when I'm able to socialize fairly regularly. Therapy is a great tool to understand how to optimize the way you spend your time, whether that's for socializing, for personal projects, or just for your own leisure. Realizing which activities make you happy and how much of each is ideal for you can really help you grow into your best self. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be flexible and convenient. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/getsleepy to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, help.com/getsleepy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Get Sleepy, where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. I'm your host, Thomas. Thanks for tuning in. For book lovers, there's nothing more wonderful than losing oneself amongst piles of volumes, whether it's in the corner of a quaint, cozy bookstore or the long, quiet corridors of a library. The experience of being surrounded by so many stories is its own kind of magic. Tonight, Jessica will be reading to us as we join a girl named Emily, who goes on a literary adventure via a whimsical bookshop that she finds in a very unexpected place. It was beautifully written by Alicia Stephan. Before we hear our story, I want to tell you about Get Sleepy Premium. It's our supporters subscription where you can enjoy over 700 full-length stories and meditations, including dozens of extra long episodes and series stitches, and everything is completely ad-free. Plus, every single Thursday, we release an exclusive bonus episode for our premium subscribers. Tomorrow, I'll be reading a soothing meditation to help you generate compassion and goodwill, both for yourself and all other beings. I'd love for you to join me and enjoy that for yourself. Give Get Sleepy Premium a try. The first 7 days are free, and you can cancel any time. For more information on all of our plans, visit getsleepy.com/support or just follow the link in the show notes. Thank you all so much. Now, my friends, it's time to get cozy and comfortable. We'll turn to our story shortly. But first, let's spend a moment together, finding some peace, relaxation, and reassurance. Lengthen your breathing as much as feels comfortable, and try to deepen your awareness of the breath, just for a few moments. Sense the wave-like motion as the air travels into your chest and stomach and flows back out into the open space around you. If thoughts come to mind that draw your attention away from the breath, you can just gently remind yourself to come back to that airflow and follow the calming rhythm once again. I hope that all is well in your life right now, and you're feeling good in yourself. I hope you're also feeling well rested, and that your sleep pattern is in a healthy spot. Whatever the case though, I want you to know that we are here for you through all the ups and downs. Because when you listen to Get Sleepy, I of course hope that it helps you find a gentle and effective path to better sleep. But as well as that, I've always hoped that you feel reassurance, some familiarity and comfort while you listen along. It's so special to everyone on the team that you choose to let us keep you company while you drift off to sleep at night or whenever you listen. And we are so happy to be that source of good rest and peaceful reassurance that I know can be so important in the quiet hours of the night. So, my friends, continue to breathe at a steady, soothing pace as I make way for another familiar voice here on the show. Jessica is about to read the story of a girl named Emily, who we join as she's wandering home from school under gloomy March skies. This is where our story begins.
It was a grey and blustery Wednesday in March. As Emily walked home from school, she reflected on how very dull the day had been. It was no longer winter, but not quite spring. Still days away from the weekend, not a ray of sunshine to be found. As she stood at a crosswalk, dutifully waiting for the signal to change, a car drove by, spraying her white socks with water. She heaved a sigh and resigned herself to wet feet. The light changed, and she crossed to the other side. As she did, the fine mist that had been lingering in the air began to get heavier, and a steady drenching shower began. Pulling her hood up over her head, she stepped under the awning of a nearby shop. She wasn't in a hurry, and she hoped that if she waited just a few minutes, the rain would pass. Out on the sidewalk, other pedestrians rushed along, some of them clearly planning to soldier onward. But as the rain increased in intensity, those people became fewer and farther between. The street was soon relatively deserted. Emily considered her options. Should she resign herself to getting soaked and press on? or should she continue to wait it out? She scanned the street, following the length of it with her gaze. There was a large park on the other side. In better weather, people could often be seen there, walking dogs or pushing baby carriages. At the moment, it was empty. The lampposts were illuminated, glowing steadfastly through the gloomy afternoon. It wasn't twilight yet, but it sure felt like it. As she examined the scene, Emily's attention was drawn to something unusual farther down the road. There was a double-decker bus sitting there, but it wasn't taking passengers, and there was no bus stop where it was parked. Furthermore, it was painted a shade of purple, which was not the color of a normal bus. Hung around its exterior was a string of white fairy lights. There were some words on the side of it, but she couldn't seem to make them out. Finally, she was driven from her dry hiding place by curiosity. Ducking under a line of dripping trees, she walked towards the bus, bent on discovering what the words on the side of it said. As she arrived at the place where it was parked, she could finally see it. It read, "Mobile Bookshop." Emily did not know what to make of this. She had only seen regular bookshops, and certainly none of them were purple. She tried to peer into the windows of the bus, but they were all dark. As she craned her neck, strolling up and down the walk, the rain suddenly picked up and became quite heavy. On impulse, she ran to the front door of the bus and tugged on it, but it didn't open. As she stood there, getting wetter and wetter, she noticed there was a doorbell off to the side. A hand-lettered sign over the doorbell said, "Ring for entry." Now, perhaps on a sunny day, Emily might have thought twice about ringing the bell of a strange purple bus. But the fact was that Emily was cold and wet, and she wanted nothing more than to be in a warm, dry place. So she pushed the button and waited with bated breath to see if anyone was inside. A long moment passed, but no one answered. With water dripping down her face, she turned to go. But just as she did this, the opaque door of the bus slid open. To her amazement, inside, she saw a very petite elderly lady sitting in the driver's seat. "Well, dear," the woman said kindly, "what are you waiting for? You're getting drenched. Come out of the rain." Encouraged by the woman's comforting appearance and the warmth of her invitation, Emily stepped up into the interior of the bus. The door closed behind her with a light hissing noise. In seconds, the forbidding March weather was on the outside, and she was warm and safe while the rain drummed on the roof above her. Emily ascended the short set of stairs that led to the interior of the bus, and nodded politely at the woman in the driver's seat. She had the appearance of a person who was certainly advanced in years, but she still had a sort of ageless demeanor. Her grey hair was mostly atop her head in a large bun, which was held in place by several pencils sticking this way and that. Her green eyes sparkled with humor over her spectacles, which were pushed down on her nose. Most curious of all, she was not dressed like a typical bookshop attendant. She was wearing faded overalls and a large soft shirt. How very odd, Emily thought to herself. This is not what I was expecting. But there were bigger surprises to come. Turning to survey the interior of the bus, she expected to see a long row of shelving where the seats might have been. But the inside view of the vehicle made no sense at all to her. It was enormous. In fact, it could accurately be described as palatial. Extending upward and back toward the rear, there appeared to be countless stacks. Each one was absolutely crammed with books of every sort. Hardbacks that were tall, thin, and bound in cloth. Short, fat volumes with metallic gold edges. Soft folios that were big enough to contain maps. Her eyes scanned the profusion of shelves and rows, taking in the rich colors. It was almost too much to absorb at once. But in addition to the amazing sights, as any book lover knows, there was also the lovely familiar smell of old books. That aroma of thick, aged paper. That atmosphere of dignified mystery. It lay like a soft quilt throughout the entire space, as if calmly awaiting her entrance, as if wanting her to come in. Gazing upward at the impossible height of the ceiling, she saw a distant chandelier hanging above her head. In here, the drumming of the rain was faint, as if it were hitting a roof that was very far away. With each small step that took her farther from the door of the bus, she felt more immersed in, and cushioned by, the silence within. Emily soon became aware that the odd little proprietor of the bus was still behind her, and turned back around. In response, the intriguing lady shifted in her seat and slid to the floor. Once she was standing, Emily could see how very petite she was. However, she moved with spry energy that belied her apparent age. Opening her arms wide, she said, "Welcome to the mobile bookshop, my dear. And what a day for it. It's not fit for man nor beast out there." Emily smiled and nodded in agreement. Then, uncertainly, she peered into the far reaches of the extensive stacks. "May I browse around a bit? I won't be a bother," she said to the lady. hopeful that she could wait out the rain a little bit. But, even more importantly, she was hoping to discover what further secrets might be contained in this eccentric bus. "Well, of course," the lady said with a smile. "Take all the time you like and go anywhere you want." Then, lowering her voice as if to share a secret, she added, "You may be surprised by some of the interesting nooks you will find here." Emily nodded in wonder. With an approving chuckle, the lady straightened up to her full, if diminutive, height. "My name is Mrs. Thimble. Just let me know if you need any help. I'll be here, having my tea," she said. Emily followed her gaze to the driver's seat and noticed an elegant china teacup there, with a biscuit resting on the saucer. It steamed as if the tea in it had just been poured, which was confusing, as there was no stove or teapot in sight. The lady returned to her comfy spot in the front and picked up her teacup. Then, just as Emily was making a move to venture further into the bus, the lady spoke once more. "Dear, just one more thing. This bookshop is a bit leaky in places. Things from the outside tend to get in, but don't worry. It's quite normal around here." Emily was puzzled over this last statement. Surely water coming into a bookshop would be concerning. But Mrs. Thimble had already busied herself with her tea and pulled out a newspaper, so she thought better of asking any questions. Instead, she proceeded to make her explorations without further discussion. She began walking farther into the bus with a delicious feeling of anticipation. Her clothes were already drying, and the toasty warmth of the bookshop was enormously comforting. Looking down, she noticed that the hard floor of the bus quickly gave way to soft carpets, each with its own elegant pattern and neatly knotted tassels. Looking farther back into the library, for that was really what the interior of the bus looked like, she could see no effort had been made to match the carpets to each other. One rug might be in jewel tones of red, tan, and faded green, whereas another was in pleasantly faded tones of pink, white, and cornflower blue. But the effect was very homely. The entire gallery of books felt lived in, like it had been there for ages. She detoured into a square nook. It was formed by soaring bookshelves that went so high that the topmost levels could only be reached via a balcony. Following the walkway around with her eyes, she spotted a clever spiral staircase in the corner. It was so small that a person would be constantly turning on themselves to climb it. She noted that Mrs. Thimble would fit perfectly. But it tucked perfectly into the small spot and looked as if it had been custom made for the purpose. At the foot of the stairs was a delightfully overstuffed yellow armchair with a mismatched purple velvet ottoman. A book lay open on the small table next to it, as if the reader had left to fetch a snack and would be right back. However, She saw nobody anywhere nearby. It felt for all the world like she was the only patron in the shop. The comfy chair was inviting, but she wanted to explore further. Also, of course, she was a little concerned that she might be taking someone's seat if she perched there, so she pressed on. Leaving the little square nook, she came upon a perplexing book-lined room that had a large wooden door on each side. How is it possible to have a large wooden door in the side of a bus? She thought to herself. Unable to resist, she crept over to one of the richly carved portals and put her hand on the fancy metal knob. She pulled on the door just a little bit, but it was too heavy to move. Turning the knob slowly to the right, she leaned backward, throwing her weight into the effort. The door began to open with a faint creak, and a golden light shone through. Stepping back, she pulled again, and the door reluctantly opened wider, making a soft shushing sound as it moved over the rug. Peeking around it, she couldn't believe her eyes. Inside, there was another room. And oh, what an alluring spot it was. A pleasantly worn leather club chair sat by a cheerful crackling fire. All around the walls, lining every space up to the ceiling, there were bookshelves. These were simply packed with long, short, fat, and skinny volumes crammed in at every possible spot. More books were stacked on the floor, as if someone had set out to build haphazard monuments to literature in every corner. And the oddest feature of the room was a bay window. Yes, a window, she thought to herself, in which there was a welcoming cushioned seat piled with soft-looking throw pillows. Emily crossed to the window and pulled its gauzy drapes aside, peering into the gloom on the other side of the glass. She expected to see the rainy street out there. Instead, she was looking at the white caps of an ocean. It was as if the room were perched on a remote cliff, with a panoramic view of the sea. In the skies above the darkened waters, a canopy of stars unfolded. More stars than she had ever seen in the sky before. She tucked her feet up under her for a moment and leaned into the window seat, uttering a happy little sigh. She felt she could look at that dramatic view forever. Her toe bumped something, and she realized there was a small blue cloth-bound book sitting near her. She picked it up and opened it gently, feeling its spine crack just a little bit. Impulsively, she held the book closer to her face, inhaling its scent. It smelled of old paper and, more faintly, of spices. In a dramatic script and faded ink, the title page said, "Exotic Islands of the World." Then, somewhat smaller, a subtitle clarified that the book was for aspiring seafarers. Although Emily had never thought of herself as such, she began turning the pages. As she did, she could have sworn that the sound of the waves became more audible, filling the air in the entire window seat. She ran her fingers lightly over the beautiful illustrations inside. She saw sandy islands, amazing multicolored birds she'd never heard of before, depictions of precious cargo. Turning from one chapter to another, Emily lost herself in the alluring descriptions of far-off ports. She lingered there happily, for more time than she had intended. A log popped gently in the fireplace, bringing her attention back to the room. Slipping out of the window seat, she felt the curtains slide across her arms, silky and delicate. On a whim, she stuck the little book in her coat pocket. She could always put it back before she left, she reasoned. Then, as she stood in the middle of the darkened space, she spotted a movement in the bookshop beyond the open door. Curious to see who else might be wandering the stacks, she returned to the open portal and peeked out. Nothing seemed out of place, and there was nobody in sight. It was when she stepped back out of the firelit room and into the stacks that she saw it. An enormous white rabbit with pink eyes hopped out from behind a pile of books and sat up on its hind legs, considering her. Emily froze on the spot, not wanting to startle the furry creature. The two of them regarded each other for a moment. Then, the rabbit turned and hopped away, heading into the deeper recesses of the bookshop. Emily stood fixed on the spot, wondering if Mrs. Thimble knew there was a rabbit here. It was a pretty unusual thing to have in a bookstore, she thought. But the rabbit was gone, and she was becoming more and more intrigued to see more of this miraculous bus. She looked briefly at the other carved wooden door, the one across from the chamber containing the firelit library. She was very interested to know what lay within, but she was distracted by a sound further inside the shop. It was a sort of bubbling noise that had nothing to do with the rainfall outside. Perhaps it was the kettle that had produced Mrs. Thimble's tea. Set on confirming her theory, she continued her walk deeper into the bus. Oddly, the hallway that had once seemed endless now stopped. Well, she thought, I have reached the back of the bookshop at last. But then she noticed that the bubbling noise was coming from the left. Looking to the side, she was amazed to find that the rows of bookshelves continued in that direction. This seemed impossible, because a long, straight bus couldn't have any twists or turns inside it. But many things inside this mobile bookshop could not be explained, and Emily was getting used to that idea. Swiveling to the left, she prepared to follow this new corridor. As she did so, she cast a glance back in the direction she'd come from. she could still see Mrs. Thimble's hand in the front, holding her teacup aloft. Now Emily would really be a solo adventurer. She walked on. The rich carpets gave way to a parquet wooden floor that looked like it had been there for eons. This new diverging hallway was narrow, and the book stacks rose very high. She thought it must be an optical illusion, but they almost seemed to bend inward, meeting in an arc over her head. She couldn't account for how the books were staying so neatly on their shelves, nor did she imagine how a person would fetch one of those hovering volumes and take it down to read it. But the bubbling sound was getting more audible, and she was driven on by her curiosity. The hallway was filled with a soft darkness. It felt restful and protective, like it muffled the world in a pleasant way. As she walked forward into the gloom, a little yellow bird flapped by, sailing through the air just out of her reach. Open mouth, she turned and watched as it vanished down the book-lined tunnel. Now she was noticing something. Behind the bubbling sound, which was getting quite near, she heard many birds. It was like the sound through a window on a spring day. It was an entire chorus of birdsong. Is this what had leaked into the bus? She wondered. Perhaps the birds had escaped from the rain outside. And then she entered a most miraculous room. Here, it was like a forest had grown inside a library. Or, perhaps it would be more aptly described as a library that had grown inside a forest. Either way, the two were now indistinguishable from one another. Leafy green trees with long, gnarled branches wove in and out of bookshelves. Here and there, she could see some of the birds whose song had led her here. They had feathers in the most marvelous colors. Bright red, blue, and yellow, like the one that had flown past her. These were definitely the prettiest birds she'd ever seen. Emily had also discovered the source of the bubbling noise. Standing in the middle of this forest, there was a huge rustic table. The surface was stacked high with a confusion of books and scrolls. Some were open, pinned by other objects. Others were unceremoniously piled here and there. Standing nearby, she also saw some test tubes, jars, and unidentifiable containers. The bubbling sound was coming from a liquid that was slowly simmering over a burner. A purple fog rolled off of it, suggesting mystical properties within. Then, even as she was still taking in her surroundings, Emily sensed that somebody else was in the room with her. An elderly man in a shabby velvet robe had suddenly appeared. It might be more accurate to say that he materialized. because Emily had been completely unaware of his presence until that moment. He was the very image of a wizard, with a long grey beard and spectacles that appeared a bit worse for wear. Adjusting those spectacles, he peered down his nose at Emily and said, "Where did you come from?" Emily felt this was a very tricky question. As she was composing an answer, the man appeared to lose interest. "Oh, never mind. All sorts of odd creatures have been popping into my laboratory lately," he said, waving to the birds. The man peered at Emily thoughtfully, noticing her eyes wandering around the room. "What is it that you're studying here?" she asked. "I am working on an enchantment that will give the gift of foresight," he explained. "You know, predicting the future." Eager to illustrate, he took a cloth in his hand and carefully lifted the bubbling glass container, swirling it gently. "If you stare right into this, you can see something, can you not?" Emily walked closer and squinted. It was true. Instead of transparent purple liquid with bubbles, there was a swirl of shapes inside. They were like a picture that had gone all runny. But more than that, she could not discern. The man seemed to read her thoughts. "Indeed, it tells me nothing, yet, but I am on the verge of a discovery." This satisfied Emily, and she began to stroll around the perimeter of his strange woodsy study. She ran her hands along the knobbly bark of the trees, and then dragged her palms across the soft, dusty jackets of the many books on the shelves. As she passed the volumes, her touch released that heady old book scent she loved so much. She wondered what magic spells she might learn if she had one of these to take home with her. Turning back to the wizard, however, she saw that he had already forgotten her. He was deep in concentration, turning the pages of an enormous atlas. She realized she couldn't imagine taking a book unless he offered it. Stepping away from the shelf, she gazed back down the hall that had brought her here. Far off, in the little circle of light at the end, she was sure she saw a rabbit go hopping by once again. Somehow, she knew it was time to go. She walked past the enormous table, watching the wizard as he muttered to himself, tapping his fingers on his ancient text. "Goodbye then," she offered quietly. He looked up only briefly, as if he'd forgotten her, and nodded, saying, "I wish you good fortune, young lady." And then he became reabsorbed in his work. He did not see her as she disappeared, leaving the enchanted forest library behind. Her shoes made soft noises on the parquet floor as she slowly retraced her steps. As she walked, she looked up again at the wondrous arched ceiling full of gravity-defying books. She soon reached the place where the main hall of the bookshop waited, with its many carpets, and its mysterious detours. Looking toward the front of the bus, she saw that the driver's seat was empty now. Mrs. Thimble and her tea were gone. Perhaps, Emily thought, she was refilling her cup somewhere. But it was only a moment before she found the odd little proprietor of the shop. Mrs. Thimble was deep in the stacks around the corner, standing on a tall library ladder. She had just finished putting a book far up on the shelf. Nodding to herself with satisfaction, as if she had triumphantly stuck the last piece in a puzzle, the lady turned. She looked delighted that Emily had appeared. "There you are, dear," she said with a smile. "Have you found anything that is to your liking yet?" Emily nodded, pondering whether or not she should mention all the strange things she had seen since they last spoke. But a twinkle in Mrs. Thimble's eyes made her think that the woman was quite aware of the types of adventures Emily had been having. "Have you seen a white rabbit running around here?" Emily asked casually. Mrs. Thimble chuckled. It was a surprisingly deep, rich laugh for a woman of her modest size. Then she nodded and said, "Yes. That naughty rabbit leaked in here from the outside, just as I told you. But you're not the only person looking for it. A little girl in a pinafore has been wandering about on the same quest." Then, descending the ladder, she confided, "Between you and me, I don't think she's going to have any luck catching it, and neither will you." Emily glanced around the bookshop, still hoping to spot the furry intruder. Unfortunately, it had hidden itself once again in the labyrinth of tomes. Mrs. Thimble reached the bottom rung of her rolling ladder and stood on the floor again. She might have been shorter than Emily, but she was still formidable in appearance. With her hands resting on her hips, she nodded and suggested that her young visitor might like to take a little more time with the books before heading home for the night. Emily eagerly accepted the offer to stay. Returning to the alcove with the two wooden doors, she stood in front of the one she had not yet opened. But even as she was considering it, the handle began to turn from the other side, and the door squeaked open. Emily stepped back, holding her breath. She wanted to be ready for whatever might come through. As it turned out, it was just a girl. She appeared to be about Emily's own age, and she had long hair tied in a ribbon. Peeking around the edge of the door first with just her head, and then her shoulders, and finally squeezing the rest of herself through, the girl stopped and stood with her hands clasped in front of her, staring at Emily. "Who are you?" the girl said, scrutinizing Emily as if she were odd-looking. Emily, meanwhile, thought this was a little bold, considering that the other girl was the person who had just pushed through a door in the side of a book bus, wearing a dress with a ruffled pinafore. The two stood and sized each other up briefly, and then the strange girl spoke. Have you seen a rabbit come through here? She asked. Emily nodded her head. I did, she confided. But I don't know where it went. Peering over the other girl's shoulder, she tried to see what lay beyond the wooden door. She had learned enough about the bookshop to know that it was probably something interesting. In response, the girl in the dress turned and pulled the door open a bit farther. Emily was transfixed. Behind her, there was a long hall full of mirrors, tables, and other doors. Books were stacked everywhere, although there were no shelves to be seen. The other girl began to speak again. I've gotten a bit lost. I was listening to my lessons, and then I saw that white rabbit, and I wanted to talk to him. So I followed him and somehow took a wrong turn. The girl stopped talking and hesitated. Then she added, Well, I took a bit of a fall, if I'm being completely honest, and I ended up in this strange hallway, and I still haven't found the rabbit. Having finished her story, she looked very put out about the entire thing. Emily nodded. In a helpful tone of voice, she promised the girl that, if the rabbit revealed itself, she would put it back in the long hallway and shut the door. At this, the strange girl looked relieved, and she took her leave, offering a small wave. I'll try searching in this direction then, she said, pointing back into the depths of the long corridor full of furniture. Maybe he went through one of these other doors. And with that, she spun on the heels of her little Mary Jane shoes and disappeared, closing the big wooden portal behind her. Just then, the big white rabbit appeared. It hopped right up to the door and sat in front of it, twitching its nose. Hoping she might be doing a good deed, Emily slowly began to open the door, allowing the rabbit to hop around the edge. The bunny vanished into the gloom of the hallway on the other side, following the girl who had just gone before it. Emily closed the door, giving it a final shove with her foot. Well, she thought, that was one leak into the bookshop that she had taken care of. Turning back to the interior corridor, Emily reluctantly told herself she should make her way to the entrance. After all, her mother would be home soon and would wonder where she was. Listening carefully, she no longer could discern any rain on the roof of the bus. The worst of the weather had passed. Wishing to draw out her last few minutes as much as possible, she detoured into an area of the stacks she hadn't explored yet. Oddly, what had seemed like an easy turn became two, then three. Before she knew it, she was in a veritable labyrinth of bookshelves that reminded her of a hedge maze. This made no sense, of course, because a maze of bookshelves should not have fit inside a bus. However, it was not the most surprising thing she'd seen this afternoon. So she just followed the path ahead. The maze ended in a small room with a table. There were no bookshelves there, but the surface was entirely covered with maps and atlases. More unexpectedly, there was a boy standing there, peering at the illustrations with interest. He was wearing a homespun shirt and had a handkerchief around his neck. He was also barefoot and appeared like he might be in need of a good scrub. Hearing her approach, he looked up from the table. "Oh, hello," he said. "I didn't know you were a part of the crew." Emily made a puzzled face. "What crew?" she asked. "Well, the treasure hunting crew, of course. We're going to have quite an adventure. I can feel it," he said. Emily walked over to the table and looked at the map he was reading. It appeared to be an island, and although the drawings were probably more artistic than accurate, she was most interested in the red X that marked the spot of something. Observing the boy again, she asked him if he wasn't a little nervous, sailing off like that when he was so young. The boy said that it was not at all unusual for a young man his age to be a cabin boy, and that he was in very good company with grown men who would assist him on his quest. Then, proudly, he said, "I'm the man in my family now, and I'll soon be a rich one as well." Emily hoped that would be true. Something about a book she had read once told her that he would succeed, or at least, that he would be rich in the end. Smiling to herself, she considered her companion. He was so full of hope and the spirit of adventure. She had to leave, but she realized she had the perfect parting gift for him. Reaching in her pocket, she pulled out the little book she had found in the window seat of the fireplace room. She held it out to him as an offering. He took the book and his eyes lit up. "Exotic Islands of the World," he read aloud, "for aspiring seafarers. I will study this with great interest. Perhaps I will see some of them on my journey." Grinning widely at her, he thanked her and shook her hand. Then, without another word, he bent over the book and began flipping through the pages. Just like the wizard, he was immediately lost in his thoughts. It was as if she were already fading away, as if she were the dream instead of him. She left the boy with his plans, retracing her steps through the maze of bookshelves until she was back in the shop. Sadly, she could delay her departure from the bookshop no longer. She didn't want to worry her mother. Walking slowly back to the front seat, she cleared her throat to let Mrs. Thimble know she was finished. The lady turned from the newspaper she was reading and smiled. "All done then, dear," she said. "Did you find anything?" Emily shook her head reluctantly. She had given her only book to the treasure hunting boy. Mrs. Thimble got a familiar sparkle in her eye and put a skeptical look on her face. "What's that then?" she asked, nodding in the direction of Emily's coat pocket. Looking down, the girl saw that there was a little book with a green cloth cover sticking out of her rain jacket. She hadn't the foggiest idea how it had gotten there. As she began to reach for it, Mrs. Thimble stopped her, saying, "Leave it for bedtime. Let it be a surprise for later." Then she added reassuringly, "I guarantee to find each patron the perfect story. You will love it. One book is free of charge for the first visit." Emily smiled happily and thanked her. Patting the little book, she felt a thrill of anticipation. She couldn't wait to open it later. The door to the bus slid quietly open, and Emily descended the stairs and rejoined the world outside. And so, she left Mrs. Thimble and the magical mobile bookshop behind. But when she stepped out into the cool twilight, the storm having passed, the city looked fresh again. Where there had been damp and gloom, the streets seemed washed clean, lit brightly by the street lamps. That night, she slid under her soft comforter at home with an extra dose of gratitude. What a fantastic thing, she pondered, to have such a drab day take her to such a wondrous place. She didn't know if she'd ever find the bookshop again, but she fervently hoped that she would. In the meantime, as she opened the little volume Mrs. Thimble had chosen for her, she was richly rewarded for her patience. Not surprisingly, it was the perfect selection for her in every way. And as she turned the yellow pages, inhaling their lovely library scent, she became lost in the magic of the mobile bookshop once again.